Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It is hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Dak on Shoddy. We'll get that in a minute for you. How is he feeling about it? I do want to pay off the tease about drafting a running back, though, as we are live at Christie's on Lower Greenville. Brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois. Thank you so much to them. Some of the most delicious cold beer you'll ever have. And you can come get a cold one right now. I said it earlier, they do make one of the best 0.0 selections you can get as well if you're into the NA beer scene as I am. You can do no better than what they got cooking at Stella Artois, okay? Why you should probably take a running back before the end of the third round. This is your guy, Tommy Yarish, DallasCowboys.com. Check this out. In the last 3 Pro Bowls, 18 of the 21 running backs selected have been first or second round picks. If you expand that filter to the last 6 seasons, 32 of the 40 Pro Bowl running backs were picked in the first 2 rounds. In this Sunday's conference championship games, 3 of the 4 starting running backs played were drafted in the first 3 rounds of their respective classes. So, I mean, there's some pretty compelling data there. First 2 rounds, 32 of the 40 Pro Bowl running backs over the past 6 seasons have come from there. Gives you a 75% shot. And then in the conference championship games, that's pretty compelling. You look at the data going into the playoffs, the top 6 most efficient running teams all made it, to the playoffs. So I do think it's important to clarify, you can't wait too long. Maybe your philosophy is I'll never draft one in the top 10. I would agree with you. Maybe never in the top 20 of the first round. And I'm mostly with you there. You know, and I'll say this, Brian, I don't want to pick a fight with you, but I think if Genty is your highest graded player when you get to 12, I would consider changing a grading system. You know, I don't think a running back could be ranked higher than a legit first round grade at any other position. You know, so I am pretty staunch and pretty strong. That said, I would maybe take a guy at 20. If you have 19 first-round grades, they're all gone, running back sitting there at 20, I'm not against the idea of a first-round pick blanket statement for a running back. But I would feel like that would be maybe a better way to stack a board. Like, my best running back every year, the highest he could go is the top player that I'm giving a second-round grade to, and we'll see how things fall to me as I'm evaluating that. But I mean, you could say first 3 rounds. I mean, I'd say the data even suggests even more. Maybe you should be looking at second round. The Cowboys have, you know, been throwing around second round picks like they're nothing for a long time, and they made a lot of mistakes there. I think you could count the hits maybe easily with one hand over the last 15 years in the second round. But I think that's what I'd like to see right now, either a great offensive lineman or young wide receiver, maybe a corner at 12, and then 44, I'm, you know, taking the best running back on my board there, Chief. Would you pick a fight with that approach?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't pick a fight with that particular approach. It's really just the top half of the first round stuff in particular, and general first round stuff that sort of gets me a little bit frustrated, especially when you're a team with as many holes as the Cowboys. You're picking at 12. If you were actually the team picking at 23 and you're like, okay, we're sort of we're right there on the cusp. We were a playoff team. We probably don't have an insane amount of holes, but we definitely got a huge one at running back. Okay, fine. Or you're at 12, you trade down, you recoup a bunch of picks, and then you want to take a running back in the low to late 20s or whatever, like, okay, I guess I could try and get on board with that. But like when it comes to some of the scientific evidence there, I get all the postseason stuff that he laid out, but like the Pro Bowl stuff is useless. You can't base anything off of what the Pro Bowl is because we laugh at the Pro Bowl voting every single year. So
it's not a nothing burger. It's not totally useless.
I don't know that the Pro Bowl is what I would be starting off my evidence
no.
with.
No, it wouldn't. But okay, so what would you?
If you're going to do something like that, like maybe all pros, like let's see who the all pro running backs actually are, because that's a much different vote than the Pro Bowl vote.
Yeah,
something like that would be huge. And then you always also want to see like who's the guy that's designing it all, or what type of offensive line were they dealing with? Mm-hmm. Because you can't just throw a back in with an outdated scheme and an average to below average offensive line and expect you're going to get all pro level stuff.
I mean, a lot of it.
Saquon Barkley didn't do a whole lot for the Giants. You give him this offensive line, you give him this offensive line coach, and run game coordinator. All of a sudden, now you're talking about a different animal.
So I think it comes down to like what kind of assets, how premium does your allocation have to be in order to get at least replacement level? Because I'm with you. We don't need to overspend for, you know, an additional 0.1 or 0.2 yards per attempt and a couple of extra touchdowns a year if that's what a difference maker. But I think from rounds 4 through 7 especially, you're getting a lot of guys in the draft that are never good enough to earn a starting position or are on practice teams. You know, I think there would be a big miss rate where you're looking at guys worse than Rico Dowdle if you wait, you know, beyond maybe day two. Where are you going with it, Wolchuk?
Yeah, I'm big in getting a guy at the very least on day two. I mean, I don't think that it's coincidental that the top guys in rushing are all first or second round picks. And then you do mix in like a random Chuba Hubbard. And then you got to get down to like outside of the top 10, there's Bucky Irving. And maybe you can find yourself a Kyren Williams. Kyren might have been a third rounder. Maybe a fourth. I can't remember exactly where he went, but like Barkley first round, Henry second round, Bijan first round, Taylor first round, or second round, Gibbs one, Jacobs was a one. I mean, to me, if that's a position you're going to give the ball 25 touches to a game, that player is impacting you every single week in a massive way. And the Cowboys have spent 2 offensive tackle first round picks the last 3 years. Now, one, they've kicked into guard, but at some point, it's like they have spent resources high in the draft at the offensive line. These guys need to perform. They need to count on Tyler Guyton. They can't just quit on him going into year two and think, oh, you had a bad year one, we're giving up. Like, so we wasted a first-round pick? Well, then why are we even talking about maybe wasting another first-round pick on an offensive line when you might think is good? If I know for sure Ashton Gentry is going to come in, he's going to be my bell cow, and that's a dude that didn't have a great offensive line and is still making people miss at a higher rate than anybody in the history, really, of college football. I mean, 16 missed tackles against Oregon in the playoff game, or excuse me, against Penn State. I mean, to me, that guy's going to help you win games. And if that's what we need to go to, where you want to run the football, play defense, I think you got to look at running back as this is a premium pick for us. Maybe it's not at 12, but it damn sure probably needs to be at 44 if you're lucky enough to have one of the top guys fall to you.
So in the second round, we're looking at UNC. We're looking at Iowa. Yeah. Are we looking at Arizona State there with Scataboo?
No, he's more of a bottom of the third round guy. He's a 5'9 guy. That to me, there's Samson at Tennessee, Harvey, Central Florida, Junkins, Ohio State, Neal, Kansas. I mentioned those guys earlier.
So there's 4 of them?
Those are all 4 guys I'd have better than Scataboo.
And they're second-round guys?
Third.
Third-round guys.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, this running back class sets up for you to take, you know, a guy in the second and third round. And if you want to prospect and say, man, we got something with Rico here, and we're not really set to win now, and you want to delay that because there is a player in the second round that matches another position, and you do that again in the third round, I would have, you know, no problem with that. But, I mean, the idea of bringing in a star running back is always a fun one. Yeah, just, you know, again, the premise of the article is if you want Pro Bowl producers, you know, chances are better than not, you got to get them by the end of the third. Dak on Schottenheimer last night with Clarence Hill on the All City Dallas show. The quote, he'll be ready for the next step. He has the right personality and brain.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a pretty good endorsement for Schottenheimer there from the quarterback. Yeah. Do you think he prefers him?
I think he does, Dawson. I think if you gave Dak Prescott a choice of Schottenheimer or Kellen Moore, I think he would probably take he's going to take Schottenheimer. And I think that's why Dallas is pursuing Schottenheimer the way they are. And then, you know, there's probably some thought about Kellen Moore. You know, there's some positive things about Kellen Moore, but, you know, how quickly can you get everything going? I mean, he's still playing football games right now, you know. So with Schottenheimer, I would like to think that if Dak probably helped the Joneses make this decision in the direction that they need to go. I'm sure Steven talked to him, and, you know, and now you got Steven and Jerry Jr. and Dak probably all on board for Schottenheimer here.
I'd love to drill down more on what he thinks about brain, because I think that's perhaps one of the most important traits to have, is not you've learned something, but you're creative enough to problem solve. Mm-hmm. You know, you're mm-hmm. adaptable mm-hmm. depending on what the trends of the defense are. You know, it's one thing to know what works, but, you know, what works in the NFL 10 years ago is vastly different from right now. And I need a guy with the brain and the acumen to, you know, to adapt to, you know, whatever unique challenges the defense is offering. And that's, you know, shifted significantly over the last 3 years or so. And that's why defenses are now, you know, responding to the latest trend, which is a powerful running game, after they responded to, we got to limit the chunk plays in the passing game. And, you know, now, you know, teams are finding a way to exploit that. And, you know, if that's what Dak means by he has the right personality and brain, then I'm on board with that. Mm-hmm. Okay, about 30 minutes ago, Nick Harris tweeting, while the Cowboys mull over Schottenheimer's 2 days of interviews with the team, the Star Telegram has learned there has been interest in former Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll, and that he has spoken with Jerry Jones, the decision now in the hands of Jerry. Seemed like we were heading for Schottenheimer pretty swiftly and, mm-hmm. and pretty strongly. But, you know, if the boss man wants to chat with Pete Carroll, I don't know. You know, maybe it's just, you know, now a matter of getting Pete Carroll down here and, you know, seeing what he has to say there. We've talked a lot about it. But let me ask you this. If Jer Bear wants Pete and Sons want Shoddy,
mm-hmm.
would that give you confidence that the Cowboys would be in better hands, you know, with Steven and Jerry Jr.? Or would you, you know, prefer Jerry's approach of insisting on Pete Carroll right now?
Yeah, that's a good question.
My initial gut is no, it does not give me confidence they'd be in better hands.
With Jerry?
With the kids.
With the kids.
Yeah, I mean, if they're pushing for Brian Schottenheimer right now, and a big reason is because Dak Prescott told me he likes him.
Sure.
Like, that's not good enough reason for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I can totally get why players, and even, I mean, anybody who's been around Shoddy, we got to sit down with him for almost half an hour. Awesome. Like, I can totally see how he can win over a room, be an awesome interview. Hell, maybe he does end up being a great CEO head coach. But, you know, do you want to – is he going to challenge you? Is he going to challenge Dak at all? Because we've kind of seen – and granted, hey, Super Bowl MVP or MVP runner-up, no Super Bowl. But that didn't do anything for you when it mattered in the postseason against a quality defensive opponent ever. Whether it was Kellen's approach, whether it was what Garrett was doing, whether – and maybe Shoddy didn't see eye to eye with what Mike did.
Mm-hmm.
But the offense came out flat as hell against Green Bay and then got it together and made it look good on the stat sheet. But they put up 17 and 12 points against a good 49er defense. And we talked all year, 2 years ago, when they played against a good defense, the offense wasn't able to do much when they go on the road to Buffalo, just as one example, right? So I don't know. You know, I mean, maybe you want the comfort thing hasn't really gotten you far. It hasn't gotten you over that hump. You've got to be open-minded to change. And I think there seems to be a very stubbornness to wanting to hear new ideas and welcoming any type of change, if that is what Steven and Jerry Jr. want. It's too much on the comfort. It's too much on the continuity. They had that for 9 years under Garrett. You just had Mike for 5 years.
Yeah.
You got one playoff win, guys. Something's not working.
Sure.
Just change. You got to be willing to change. And there seems to be a very stubbornness with them that they're welcoming any change.
If you want, you know, Schottenheimer because that's what Dak wants and it's cheaper,
sure,
then I don't like that. But I think there's something to be said for the process of, you know, maybe Schottenheimer isn't the guy that's going to get the TV talking about us. You know, maybe, you know, this isn't going to excite the fan base. But I like the idea that maybe it's a process of knowing fundamentally this is what's in the best interest of the football team, and Dad's looking for the big, you know, ratings generator, the season ticket seller, or the thing to get social media firing. And, you know, if that's why, you know, Dad wants a coach who's won the Super Bowl to give fans more belief, you know, then I'm looking at it like Jerry Jones is too much in it for selling and the appearance of things. And maybe the kids want to, you know, take more of a backseat and let the process of operating a football team run its course. I don't think Steven and Jerry Jr. are going to, you know, undermine the head coach or insist that they're the tone setter for the organization like Jerry is. So I don't know if this is a pure example of it, but I think the Cowboys are going to be much better off. They'll have an opportunity to run like most of the other teams do, where the owners are doing their thing and having their say, but, you know, not so involved in the tone setting of the organization. I think that's fundamentally potentially more solid. We'll continue the conversation a little bit later on. We're live at Christie's here, brought to you by Stella Artois. It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Buddy, where are you taking us?
Oh, my goodness. It's a tremendous day. Once a year, we get to celebrate this National Pie Day, and this year's Top 10, I've made my own. My own personal top 10 pies here live from Christie's in Lower Greenville on the fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. We're live at Christie's Lower Greenville. It is amazing to watch Brian work and to watch him, you know, figure out ways to share what he can at this point. Sensitive information flying around amongst Cowboys insiders and having a front row seat to it is what we give you right here on your home of the Cowboys, 105 through the fan. Yeah, live at Christie's, brought to you by Stella Artois. It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420 here in the G-Bag Nation. Pete Carroll coming into view as a possibility. Still probably feels like Schottenheimer's the favorite, Brian. Would you say that right now? Schottenheimer's still the favorite?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Here he is, Zach, with an H. Your Woody Bully.
All right. Happy National Pie Day. 877-881-1053. What's your favorite pie? And no, it's not 3.14. Okay. We get this every year. People want to do fun with math. It's like, no numbers, please.
You kind of get two pie days out of that.
Is that 22 over 7?
I don't.
Actually?
I don't know, bro.
No, it's the 3.144444
repeating. Yeah, but 22 over 7, I think, is...
That's the fraction.
Oh, that's the fraction?
Yeah.
You're probably
I'll take your word for it.
I trust you on that. So I've got my personal top 10 pies list. All right. We'll get to that in just a second. Speaking of this Cowboys search, I did see that Josina Anderson, and you mentioned somebody from the NFL Network earlier.
James Palmer.
Oh, James. We love James.
James Jim Palmer.
He's the man.
Jay Peasy.
Maybe there's a leverage play here. I don't know, but that Pete Carroll is growing more interest from the Raiders brass for their head coaching vacancy from Josina. Also, the Raiders could pivot and go with Steve Spagnuolo of the Chiefs. He's also drawing interest from Vegas as
well. I like that move. You weaken your rival at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, everything changed when he showed up there in Kansas City.
Well, and you know Tom Brady has the utmost respect for Spags, who took him down in Super Bowl.
That's right. 07 Super Bowl? Yeah.
New York?
Absolutely. Yep, that was a big one. So... that could be possibly one to look into. Now, I did see Eagles Commanders, cheapest get-in ticket, over double the price of Bills and Chiefs, okay? You've got $546 just to get in the door for the NFC title game. Meanwhile, Chiefs-Bills, which I think I am viewing as the Super Bowl, like the real one here.
Yeah, you're having a bucks. You're
calling tell anybody. We're supposed to be going to New Orleans.
Yeah, I think the winner of this one's your Super Bowl champ, personally.
Wolchuk texted me. He's like, hey, do you want to come over for my Super Bowl party on Sunday? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, Chiefs-Bills. I was like, all right.
AFC title again.
What are you bringing? You bringing anything?
Probably a what do you think, Wolchuk?
Well, I was hoping you'd bring your mom spaghetti.
That's a good point. I could put her to task.
Or the baked ziti. I did miss that on the ziti.
Ziti's dominant.
Dominant.
Yeah, yeah, ziti's dominant.
But I hope to see you and all the Tolos. You guys want to come for the Super Bowl party?
This Sunday.
Roll on out this Sunday for Chiefs-Bills AFC Championship game after the NFC Championship game. We'll get our Super Bowl party on. All right, let's talk pie, shall we? 877-881-1053. There is that one pie that gets texted in a lot.
Hasn't been on the menu since the 90s.
No.
Pie in the sky.
Save it, jokesters.
Yep. It's a good one, though. And I know that there's a lot of people, specifically Jim Brown, that grew up and were big-time fans of that pie.
Big fans of the rug. Like, that still exists.
Absolutely. Then you've got, to me, a lot of honorable, a lot of honorable mentions that I don't even
work with.
Really enjoy. Okay.
Remember the landing strip era?
Yeah.
Okay.
Top tier.
That's sometimes you need a good landing strip area.
Jeez. It's like a little 5 o'clock shadow.
Just to say hello.
Didn't know anybody from your generation knew that. Well, Chuck, I'm proud of you.
Of course I did. I learned that at a young age. Are you kidding me? We're talking about that at summer camp.
Landing strip. Walchuk owns the cockpit.
Woo! Sure do. My wife's pie from the 214. Now, that could mean like
butterscotch.
Gavin's mom makes the delicious sugar cream pie.
Yeah, what are you doing over there?
Well,
that was over the line.
His mom,
Dawson's
or wife,
an excellent cook.
They are great bakers. That's what that means, Brian. Okay.
Okay.
It's not always
we'll say that.
Yeah.
It's not mom's
the sugar
pie.
Cream pie, aka the Hoosier pie
over there.
It's delicious. It's a delicious pie.
You can order it now on Gold Belly. Just find Nick's Kitchen in Huntington, Indiana.
Okay, I might have to do that actually.
How cold do you think it's in Huntington, Indiana?
My cousin Mason bangs out about 40 every morning.
What?
40?
Yeah.
Holy crap!
That's
and they're just he's
that's
turning
just
and
for the mail. Right? Wow. And then he's got to take care of the diner, too.
That's incredible.
I might have to order one of those.
They've got that thing locked. I did have a lot of people on Twitter say the salary cap pie that Stephen Jones likes to talk about a lot. You know, there's only so many pieces of the pie.
Talented listeners.
So we had that. That was probably the number one answer, actually. My honorable mentions, I start at the bottom with the coconut cream because I'm just not a coconut guy. It's the shavings.
This is your list, right?
This is me. This is my list.
Wolchuk's been slaving away at this. I popped in the prep room yesterday, and I could just see, like, he was working up a sweat. I'm like, what are you grinding away at over there? He was like, this pie list for tomorrow. I'm doing my own, and this is not easy.
It's not easy.
To whittle this down to 10.
And honestly, this could change in an hour, really, just depending on what I'm feeling in the moment.
How do you think you did at number 10, Eric? Coconut pie.
I didn't put it at 10. This is all the way down at 19.
That was just an honorable mention.
This is honorable mention.
I've actually never had coconut pie. I've had coconut cake. It's actually one of my mom's favorite, one of my favorite things that my mom makes. I always ask her to, like, make half of it without the shreds
coconut
on top. I don't need the topping.
Okay, there you go.
But just, like, the cake itself
is...
is 10 out of 10.
What's the cake flavor without the coconut?
Yeah, well, no, yeah. You still
I'm assuming there's still coconut amidst the, yes. the cake or
you
something,
You don't like
right?
the
I don't really
debris?
Need the shreds.
No,
yeah.
It's the grainy texture. That's yeah. why I don't like the coconut to begin with, and that's why I'm putting the coconut cream down here okay. towards the bottom. All right, I've also got like your strawberry, your peach, your cherry, the blueberry, and the Boston cream. All right, those are honorable mentions for me. I'm not into the fruit pies a ton. Cobbler for me, yes. Like, I'll go Ooh. With a peach cobbler.
Yeah, the cobbler's Ooh. A different animal.
But if I'm going fruit, I'm going to tend to lean cobbler over pie. And there's something, maybe it's just the cherry pies. I've just had overly tart pies, but they've never hit for me. There's other pies that I think are way better.
Can I get you on a blueberry?
I've just never had a good one.
I got you.
But maybe, because you got me on the blueberry donuts.
I did. Well, and listen, the blueberry donut, the blueberry cake donut is in a league of its own.
Had two it of them is. Sunday.
Yeah.
Now, wow. somebody texted in a good butterscotch pie. I don't think I've ever had a butterscotch
I'd be down
pie.
For that.
That sounds delicious. Person
71 years old.
Oh, man, my mom makes some butterscotch brownies. Look oh. those up in your Betty Crocker cookbook.
Those sound fantastic.
And yep. that cookbook's really good.
All right, last one, number 11, just on the outside looking in, is the banana cream pie.
Mm.
Some of them are really good. Some of them too much chunky banana. And if you got too much chunky banana, I don't like
Not for you.
You got to almost liquidate those or yep. liquefy them
mm-hmm.
and mix that up with a ton of sugar.
Liquidate those bananas, damn it.
Number 10, we've got the Frito pie.
Frito pie.
I think what? That's strong.
Oh, way to go, Wolchuck.
I think that's a strong pie
there
right
there.
There
we go.
Here. Number 10 is the Frito
Didn't
pie.
Didn't see that coming. Well, if we're going Frito pie, then pizza pie must be on it.
Oh, it's on it.
Oh, it's on it, baby.
It's
amazing
it.
To watch Dawson try and put this picture up without...
You're doing an excellent job.
Like that. It's really good are. Wingspan.
Buttermilk pie is being texted in. The chocolate pie, peanut butter pie. Number 1 pie is a cheesecake. I don't consider that a pie.
Mm.
We've got number 9 for me is
that
the pumpkin.
That would be a cake.
9 is the pumpkin. Seasonal pie, I do love it for Thanksgiving.
Frito
with a little
pie, that was good.
Dollop of whipped cream. Mm. So I'm in on the banana, on the pumpkin pie. Mm. 8 is a good chocolate cream pie.
Yeah. Overlooked sometimes.
Very overlooked, but just yeah. satisfying, delicious.
I love chocolate.
No fruit.
Mm. No fruit. You don't
What's
like
the crust? Is generally, is it like a sort of like an Oreo crust, if you will? Like you a could, chocolate sort
see,
of?
See, that's an Oreo pie. That's in its own.
Oh, okay. Realm, oh, that's a different.
We'll get to the Oreo pie.
I love ice cream pies as well.
Like I've never had an ice cream
dude,
pie.
Dude, an ice cream pie. Like
you never had one? You've never been to Baskin Robbins?
Oh, my gosh, dude.
No,
ice cream
they
pies.
They serve pies?
It's like yeah, the like ice cream cakes. Cake.
No,
like,
I've had ice cream cake.
Yeah, but think about how incredible they are. Ice cream cakes are dominant.
Oh, Eric, did you mess it up, though?
What do you mean?
You said pie, but it's actually a cake.
No, ice cream cake. I'm talking about ice cream pie. Now, what you might be referencing from where?
Baskin Robbins is a cake.
That might be the cake, yeah. No, I'm talking about a legit pie here. I'm talking about like an Oreo-crusted deal with like a mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Is that like a graham cracker crust there, that Boston cream pie thing you're talking about down there?
Yeah, I think there is. Now, Guy Frazier, who is a legendary Tolo as well.
Uncle Fraz.
That's a great name.
Yeah, if you want someone who knows his way around a football field, this dude, big time into recruiting, also massive Longhorn fan. Black bottom pie, chocolate filling on the bottom with butterscotch filling on the top and your graham cracker crust.
Good night.
That sounds like heaven, Guy. I've never had it. I'm going to need to put it on the list to try. Number 7 for me is the pecan pie.
Yes.
Tried and true,
yes.
traditional, delicious.
Goated.
It's the best Thanksgiving pie.
I ate so many pieces of it one year. I must have been 7 or 8 years old. It made me sick, and I had this mental block on it for years. Just started dabbling back into it a couple of holidays ago. Oh, my goodness.
You guys got the ice cream on top of that thing, or what are you doing?
I'm never going to say no thank you.
One scoop of vanilla.
Delicious bluebell.
A lot of shepherd's pie coming in here on the text, Wolchuck.
Yeah, the shepherd's pie was an honorable mention.
On a cold day.
And the shepherd's pie's, it's good. I don't love it. And maybe that's also when I haven't had a really good one. My grandmother was British, bless her heart, not the best cook. So growing up, whenever she made it, I just didn't like it. And it might have just been a her
Were
thing.
Her potatoes jacked up on top? Is that the problem?
They were gross.
Yeah, there
yep.
you go.
They were gross. And the thyme. She used a lot. I don't like thyme a ton. It can be an overpowering. Yeah.
You mess up the potatoes, you can mess up the shepherd's pie.
6 is lemon meringue pie for me.
I
love
lemon.
Lemon meringue. And lemon is refreshing.
Yes.
It's underrated. Mm. 5 is the apple pie. I actually put the lemon meringue instead of the key lime because I thought they were kind of in the same family.
Sure.
So key lime could be like an honorable mention, but I didn't.
That's
going to
be number 1
lime.
For me, but here we go.
I do love key lime, so I'm not going to fight you on that.
Sure.
5 is apple. Apple pie also tried and true, warm with a little bit of vanilla ice cream. There Let's go. Party.
Got to liquidate them.
4 is peanut butter pie.
The apple?
Yeah.
Don't want much crunch in there.
Oh, that little snap.
Specifically the peanut butter pie that I had at, I think it was True Lux.
Peanut butter pie.
The one and only time I went to True Lux, holy crap, that peanut butter pie, and they like cover it in chocolate.
Yeah.
How
were the stone crabs there? Did you like the stone crabs?
They were good. They were very, very good. Okay. I liked it.
They have the best calamari.
Brad Champ's favorite place by far.
Oh, we know that.
The calamari is fire.
I've listened to a Cowboys game before.
Heck, thanks for listening.
Number three, Gavin Dawson, is the chicken pot pie.
There we go. I was wondering about that.
I love me a chicken pot pie.
Dawson's about ready to take a swing at you here.
I love a chicken pot pie.
He was on a losing streak, wasn't he?
He was. He was kind of going downhill.
Between the lemon meringue and the apple.
When he started off with the Frito pie, I'm thinking, this is going to be a good list. And then the chicken pot pie is excellent.
The chicken pot pie is fantastic.
Best one, of course, now. Now at Costco. Get it fresh.
Yes. Yep.
Not frozen. I remember a time when the Marie Callender's frozen chicken pot pie was legendary.
Yeah.
Okay, they've downgraded it since then. But you know the leap from like the banquet microwavable pot pie to the Marie Callender? You would make a similar leap forward to capture the quality of Marie Callender, but I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, they went through a corporate reorganization. They emerged on the other side. Inferior. You know what I'm talking about, Wolchuk.
Absolutely.
God, that thing used to be like homemade.
Yes.
Out of that
box. It
was
so good. And
well worth $5.
Boston Market would have a good chicken pot pie that you could get.
Yeah, not your good call there. Meatloaf and the chicken pot pie.
Was
very good.
And then the KFC also does have a good chicken pot pie. I know our guy.
Dude, Boston Market was insane in the late 90s. Yeah. Same deal with them.
Yeah.
You know, new owners.
You're right.
They cut down the quality a little bit.
They're
but still really good.
Down around here.
We had one by Valley Ranch. We probably ate out once a week, and it was really good.
Number two is the pizza pie. I put it at number two.
Now, was that a calzone or just specifically
just the pizza?
I think he's talking deep dish.
You mean a slice of pie?
Or just, oh, pie.
Whatever pizza you want. All the
That's
pizzas,
what they call it in New York.
Pie.
Threw me off.
Is a slice?
Yeah.
Slice? A pie and a slice are different, right? A slice is a slice,
yeah,
slice of
you,
pie.
If you want a pie, I guess
pie
you would say
a
slice
of
pie.
A stuffed
slice
one? Of pie. A filled one?
Just pizza in general is referred to as pie.
Number one, though, my favorite pie of all pies is the Oreo pie.
Mm.
I think it's undefeated. Mm. It's always damn good. You get the crushed crust of an Oreo. Then you get some good whipped cream in there. Maybe it's almost like there's a little ice cream going on. I'm not really sure what's happening. But a good cold Oreo pie, I just think is heavenly. It's comfort. And there's my top 10 personal pies. And if you don't like it, shove it.
I like
your list.
Have you been on soda and never got a chance to try my mother's or my family's sugar cream Hoosier pie?
No, I tried it last year.
And you didn't make the top 10?
Didn't make the top 10, apparently.
Wow. It's,
that was a
honestly,
clarion
Gavin,
omission.
It's so good, it goes without saying. Everything else is playing for second place. And you know
well,
that's
the way I feel. But after listening to that list, I'm not sure that you share my sentiment.
You could tell Dawson was waiting for the big crescendo of the number one pie of all time. Being
okay, say it with me now.
The famous Dawson.
Dawson's mom's sugar cream pie
is the best.
Yeah.
I'll know one thing. That thing was in the fridge, and I was taking a knife, and I was cutting big slabs out of it.
Oh, I know.
Seriously.
I watched you shoveling
from
the
did.
Fridge.
No,
pumpkin pie was on here, guys. Don't be crapping
or something.
On me for pumpkin.
Yeah,
I had it at nine, okay?
Gavin's parents might hate me, but that pie is excellent.
I think they hate Wolchuk more now, to be honest with you.
What a slap
in
the
face, to you now.
The Dawsons have been huddled around their transistor radio up there in Oregon waiting for Wolchuk to give them the good news of the gold medal in the pie contest. And they got left off the entire nominee sheet. That is
when we got to number three and I hadn't heard of you, that I was like, cool, top two spot.
and number one.
I thought you'd be pumped at Oreo pie being number one.
Oreo pie is outstanding.
Instead, I didn't play the right card, damn it.
Hey, we got an edition of Football's Finest just 20 minutes away now. Get up to speed on everything happening in the NFL. We're live from Christie's Lower Greenville. It's a great place to swing by if you're getting out of work, get some cold beer. It's brought to you by Stella Artois, so we'll get one of those in your hand as well. Looks like Chief's got a whole bucket in front of him right now.
He does.
It's shout about out to get nicey.
Shout out my guy Brian, dude. He just brought
Brian
the
will bring
down.
It to you now.
Oh yeah, nice little six pack on
Stella,
the Rockies.
Stella Artois.
All right, Shoddy's the favorite. Is it a big mistake? We'll discuss that. We'll look at your Mavs topics as well as they get set for a back-to-backer. And we're back here live at Christie's G-Bag Nation on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105 through the Fan. Thank you, Lucius. We are live here at Christie's on Lower Greenville, brought to you by Stella Artois. Come crack 'em.
with us. It is a thirsty Thursday here in the G-Bag Nation. Football's finest coming up at 4 o'clock. At 5:20, we'll give you a recap of what we know so far. Very eventful day with the Schottenheimer news. We were heading for Schottie. And, you know, at some point before the show, it was like, hold up, maybe Pete Carroll, maybe Rich Bisaccia. Brian has reported since then that Rich Bisaccia probably not a real candidate. But, you know, we keep hearing the name Pete Carroll, although Schottenheimer still the favorite. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on, Brian.
Would it surprise you if they brought back Mike McCarthy?
Yeah, I would be surprised at this point, although, you know, I think it's probably the best option. You know, bringing him back, you get, you know, the veteran coach, you know, and you get the continuity there with you know, what has made Dak successful in the past. But I think after just the way that it ended, and there's been no words from Mike McCarthy saying he appreciates the opportunity or, you know, any,
sure,
you know, well wishes from the Cowboys, it just seems like that bridge got burnt. How about you?
No, I'm just wondering because it just with the way everything is kind of going, it could it be a situation where Jerry and Steven and them, well, maybe Jerry and Jerry Jr., or excuse me, Steven and Jerry Jr., maybe they got their way with it with Schottenheimer being the OC, and now you kind of get Mike McCarthy coming back, but you've already established that Schottie's going to be the OC.
Yeah.
And you could be the head coach. So.
I wonder if you have Ben Johnson now in Chicago, if the Saints job doesn't go McCarthy's way, if he'd pick up the phone and be like, man, maybe I would do that deal, you know? Maybe I, you know, 1 or 2 years didn't sound good 2 weeks ago, but now it doesn't sound too bad.
I just kind of wonder, you know, it just was sitting there thinking about all the things and wondering if Mike McCarthy was, God, he went out the door. And you just wonder if, like, if the Joneses would all of a sudden just reconsider, damn, we're really not getting anywhere, but maybe we could get Schottie as this OC for Mike and then let Mike just handle the team,
yeah,
you know? And then you get Zimmer back and, you know, you just kind of do some of the similar things you did before. I know it's probably not good enough, but.
I mean, it's kind of like.
I think it's like you might be far worse. You know,
yeah, I don't think it would impact winning or losing one way or the other for next year. You know, and if the guys wanted Mike McCarthy, seemed like Micah and Dak were in his corner. You know, would Jerry go back on something like that after?
I don't know. I mean, could he be like? Could Mike be the compromise candidate?
Hmm.
You know, if Stevens dug in and Jerry Jr. dug in here, and Jerry's dug in over here, what if somebody said, "Well, damn, let's just okay. Can we agree? Schottie be the OC." It might come back.
Jerry does love negotiating. You know, I think he might like that more than some of the games.
I don't know.
This time.
I'm just throwing it out
there.
You
got to be willing to walk away from the deal to have your best negotiating position. And if Jerry wanted to get Mike McCarthy with the exact deal that he wanted, then he's like, fine, then I guess you got to go. But then he's coming back to it, and maybe Jerry wins the negotiation ultimately that way. Like, yeah, we took him back because he, you know, after a couple of weeks, he saw that this was a great opportunity. I don't know. That would be a monster surprise, though, wouldn't it, Chief?
Oh,
it'd be
stunning. Yeah, that would be the craziest outcome possible. I believe of all the craziness that we've seen, that would be the craziest.
It's also, dang it, man! I think for me that like the one sell that people are trying to throw with Schottie is he could be a good CEO type of head coach, but then the caveat is you don't want him calling plays. So I don't know. Like if you were going to bring Mike back, but then Schottie's your play caller, I'd almost rather just give him the head coaching job and find another offensive coordinator that's going to call the plays. And let's see if maybe he is a good just CEO, run the team type of guy, because clearly the players love
him. I think Jane was the one that reported, though, like Schottie's
she did
drawn a line in the sand of like he wants to call plays no matter what.
Yeah, and I am very intrigued by the idea of Schottenheimer getting a chance to work off of what McCarthy was doing well, but putting his own spin on it. I'd like to see something, even if it's marginally different, especially if he can get a new runner in here and maybe another good offensive lineman. How about this news from Todd Archer, though, guys? And, you know, what are expectations for the defense next year? Pro Bowl cornerback Trayvon Diggs had chondral tissue graft surgery.
today on the left knee. The recovery could keep him out until parts of training camp, if not longer, according to multiple sources. It's not a surgery I have any familiarity with at all, covering sports. I don't know of any other athletes that have had this, but you know, when you're talking about possibly longer, of course, him with Overshown, maybe losing Osa, losing Jordan Lewis. I mean, what do you have at linebacker? What do you have at corner? What do you have at defensive tackle? There's just too many spots to fill and not enough cap space to do it. So I don't think that's a good report. You know, like usually after surgery, you're like, man, it's a tremendous success. And, you know, we look forward to a timeline of him returning maybe around training camp or something. But maybe well into the season suggests that, man, the timeline is uncertain with an operation like this.
Yeah, I would think so. Todd Archer did follow up with saying that the timing of the surgery had to do with the growing of the graft to ensure best results. And he says the one example we have is actually Noah Brown. Okay. I don't remember when he had that, but he had a similar procedure done earlier in his career. And Archer said it's a more modern take on a microfracture surgery is the way it's been described to him.
So an evolution of the microfracture. Mm-hmm. Man, it does stink that it's taken this long post-injury to get him under the knife.
But I know how that goes. Like, one of the times I tore my ACL, it was so swollen that they couldn't get me in for surgery for like at least a month or something. Obviously not as long as this.
What
but
happened with Gallup? Remember, like, Gallup didn't have his surgery until, like, February or something, and he hurt in, like, December, maybe?
So, you know, I don't know. If you tell me Overshown and Diggs are out for half the season, I guess they finished strong defensively, and we can draw some optimism from that, but that's with Overshown. And what did he have, 60 pressures? Osa and his 60 pressures, you know, this year. I hope that, you know, they could pick up where they left off, and a big part of that would be getting Mike Zimmer to commit as defensive coordinator, but we haven't heard anything officially about that, as if he's even in the conversation. Okay, well, we will talk maps coming up in the expressway at 5:20. Draymond Green has apologized again. That's a funny story to track in the 5 o'clock hour as well. We're about 45 minutes from LA Live. In addition to the finest coming up next, Chief, where are you taking us?
We begin to prep our bodies for championship weekend, plus Ben Johnson already making an enemy next in the nation.